The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. They have called the master of the house of Beelzebub. How much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear for them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing is secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week I mentioned that some of us were preparing to go to church camp at Hopewood Lutheran Memorial Camp, and now that week has come and gone. In reflecting on the call and care of others in our reading from Matthew's gospel lesson last week, with the mission of the 12 to go out and cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, that we were going to be going to camp and there were going to be campers that felt lost, needed direction. Some would be in pain that needed to be alleviated, and that camp ministry is one expression, an example of the church's witness that embodies that mission. To share the good news that none of us are alone. And I can honestly say that I was not disappointed and can affirm the glimpses of the kingdom of God that broke through at camp this past week. As a pastor, parent, and an adult leader at camp this week, I saw kids naturally embrace our eldest and minister to her and support her as she navigated camp with a broken ankle. I saw high school students being very kind and affirming to younger campers. While we were broken up in various age groups, whenever we were mixed up
intergenerationally, there was no segregation. You could see genuine love and support from one another. I have video and photos to prove it too. I saw staff and campers do what they could to listen to campers who just needed someone to listen to. I saw our chaplain for the week console a child that was homesick to the point where they were just uncontrollably weeping. And it was the closest thing to casting out a demon that I've ever seen. Because like a switch, that camper was okay with a little ministering too. I saw an older brother wanted to make sure that people took it easy on his little brother in the very competitive game that we've come to know as Gaga Ball, and that his friends would let him win in the end. I saw all these things throughout the week. It was refreshing how kind they could be to each other, because so often us adults are not as kind in our everyday lives. And by no means am I saying that anybody was free from sin this week or that frustrations didn't exist. I was invited to address some girl drama at one point, as they called it, mind you, and to seek some reconciliation there. So it's not to romanticize or downplay any of those things, but there were glimpses of the kingdom in a way that I believe fits Matthew's gospel lesson from last week that continues on this week. Because ministries and churches in our world today can be very territorial. We're not working together with a common mission. Oftentimes we're in competition because it's not about the gospel. It's about our institution prevailing, being the most successful rather than the most faithful. Rather than working together as the body of Christ, we've cultivated a lone ranger mentality to ministry that puts us in bubbles and silos. And Jesus isn't surprised by such a result. He seems that it's a certainty that this will happen, given our brokenness. Sadly, it's also far too common to see ministry grounded in fear. Now, that's often used intentionally as a tactic to have power and control over people. Yet I'm sure that there are those who are genuinely in a state of fear that center their ministry on that. And you can certainly emphasize parts of the very gospel lesson that we just heard from Matthew to drive that point home. But we also hear in the same gospel lesson that God values us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. Even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. God's unconditional claim on our lives becomes our source of comfort and consolation, even in the face of conflict. We are more loyal as human beings to our tribes than to Jesus, which makes our world and in the scope of our mission small and constricted, and not accepting the full invitation that Jesus is calling us to receive. I know that this is part of our lesson that can be jolting when Jesus is talking about family, particularly in how we've come to value family in our society today. You can go into various shops and they have decorations, and faith and family are in the same decoration, right? They're on par with each other. So for Jesus in our gospel lesson to put them at odds with one another is inherently countercultural. When we hear those words that I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus, contrary to what we see a lot in American Christianity, Jesus doesn't care about family values, right? As we've come to know it. That's not a pillar of the Christian faith that it's centered on. But I imagine what he's speaking of in this conflict that we will see in families is when we put anything above the kingdom, that's going to cause conflict. That's going to cause tension. That's going to cause division. Now, this conflict doesn't have to be a certainty. But remember, when we speak of the family of God, it's much larger than our households. It's much larger than those who we share DNA with. So let's go back to camp ministry as an example. There were kids that were not related to each other, that literally lived together under the same roof this past week. They lived together as family. They bickered and loved each other as family. There were kids from different churches, but we all worshiped together as one. Divisions that I believe Jesus speaking of would be if we spent the week at camp and only kids that were related to each other or lived together outside of camp were allowed to engage each other or take care of each other. The divisions that I believe Jesus is speaking of would be if only those that went to the same church could worship together. Thankfully, that wasn't the case. And that's why I believe so much of the kingdom was breaking through. I should not be surprised that kids get this naturally more than the rest of us. Part of that might be that as we get older, as we get knocked around in life a bit, our fear is easy to misplace. As James Squire writes, underneath the misplaced fear is God and his sadness at what he sees going on with us. God sees the value he places in us being wasted in destructive behavior. He sees us clutching hold to a life without God that will inevitably slip through our fingers. Matthew quotes Jesus saying that if we deny him before others, he will deny us before his Father in heaven. Even if that's not literally true of Jesus and God, at this point in the narrative, what exactly is Jesus supposed to say about us when he stands before his Father in heaven? Is there anything good that he can report? And in many ways, the short answer would be no. But the good news is that God values us. God values you. We see it in the very lesson that we heard. That it's not our faithfulness, but the faithfulness of Christ that saves us. So we heard in our lesson from Romans, for if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Our theme this past week at camp was Holy Trinity, Holy Love, knowing that we are not perfect, that we fall short, that we do not need to live in fear, but trust that we are joined to God and can lean on the promises that God has made to us at baptism. So whether we are at camp or church, work, school, or play, every day we are dying and rising with Christ. We are walking from death to new life in Christ. And when we walk with Jesus, we're going to follow the way of Jesus. And in fact, we hear that very invitation to pick up the cross ourselves. And I saw campers and counselors witness to me this past week in how they gave of themselves to show love to those who needed it in a moment, in that moment. They were losing their life for Christ's sake, and in so doing, finding it. It seems so incredibly simple, but it's not always so. It can be so hard for us to do, but they did it so naturally. Losing their life for Christ and finding it. Not focused on themselves, but focused on the other. And in letting go of themselves to pouring love into someone else, relationships were formed, and the kingdom arrived. The kingdom of heaven has arrived. The kingdom of heaven is here. May we share the kingdom with others by loving, serving, and lifting up the lowly among us. Because the world does call us to look inward. And in that process, the world has left many among us abandoned. But when we embrace the ministry that God is calling us to, that God is working through our hands, seeking up to lift all those who have been abandoned by this fallen world, that God's kingdom that God's family is constantly expanding. We are bearing witness to a God who values each and every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.